Raising children and shepherding them through school is no walk in the park, even on the good days. Well, if you are a family with a student with disabilities, the path might be even harder and steeper, but for some, help may be on the way. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. This coming week, the city of Chicago and a renowned social service agency will join forces to launch a fund to help students with disabilities. It's called the Diverse Learners Recovery Fund, and we'll tell you a bit later about how to apply for grants. But first, we're going to introduce you to the officials who have helped establish this program. Rachel Arfa is Commissioner of Mayor Brandon Johnson's Office for People with Disabilities. She is the first deaf person to serve as a member of any mayor's cabinet nationwide. Prior to her government service, she spent 15 years as a disability and civil rights attorney, and under her leadership, the Office of People with Disabilities has upgraded its services in a number of ways. Also with us is Kurt Holderfield. He is a senior vice president for Ada S. McKinley Community Services. He focuses on child development and youth services. He's been with the social service agency for about 6 years. He's also been an adjunct professor at the University of Chicago School of Social Service Administration and chief program officer of the Chicago Child Care Society. And I welcome you both. And before we talk about the program itself, can we talk about the problem that it's designed to help solve? And I may turn to you, you first, Kurt, as someone with the service agency. What are the kinds of everyday challenges facing parents whose children have disabilities? And I say this knowing that there is such a wide range of things that we call disabilities.
There is a wide range, and there is many challenges that the families living in Chicago and those that receive services at Ada S. McKinley face who have children with disabilities. Just getting to school, making sure that they have all the resources and supports that they know that they so that they can learn and be on par with the other students that they go to school with. We particularly saw how our students struggled during the pandemic, especially when they moved to remote learning. The virtual classroom was just not ideal for many of our students that we were serving. That move was very difficult for them. Not only that, they lost some of their critical supports. It created undue stress for the families, both emotionally and financially. They struggled. And we see some of those lasting effects even today. A few years removed from the pandemic, some of our families have not fully recovered yet.
Commissioner Arfa, let me ask, how can agents, either social service agencies or the government, be good at helping people over such a range? Because, you know, the needs of people with, say, blindness are so completely different from people who are mobility impaired or people who are deaf.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. It's great to be here to answer your question. I believe that this program will help to meet the barriers that students and adults with disabilities experience, whether you have a physical disability, an invisible disability, whether you were born with your disability, or you acquire your disability through age or through kind of community violence. We believe that it is so important to partner with other communities to design solutions. And I'm so proud that this program and the work that we are doing with Kurt and Ada S. McKinley is a stellar example of that partnership in serving other other communities.
Yeah, Ada S. McKinley is such a major partner of this. When we are talking about the challenges of learning, you know, for some things, there's technology available. If you're mobility impaired, there's technology to help you move. If you're vision impaired, but for whom is the technology available and how do people afford it? Kurt?
So It is difficult to come by the technology. I mean, we try to make it available as much as we can to the families that we serve at ADES McKinley. I'll give you an example. For our early Head Start and Head Start programs, when we moved into remote learning for those students, we were able to provide a tablet loaded with educational apps. We were able to provide a hotspot for those families so that they were able to connect virtually. But we learned right away that, just having the technology wasn't enough. Some of our families weren't adept at being able to use that technology. They didn't have Wi-Fi. They didn't have proper connections. Children didn't necessarily know how to use some of the equipment. It would get damaged. We would need to have it replaced. The world has moved to a place where students and children, they need to be learning technology. And it became very apparent to us during the pandemic that not only did our families not have access to that technology, they also didn't necessarily have the knowledge to use it well. So that was a wake-up call for us. And I think one of the things that we've tried to do is make sure any of the families that come in contact with ADES McKinley have access to those resources. But we touch just a few families within the city, right? We don't touch everybody. So we do recognize that lack of access to technology is significant, and it creates a barrier for a lot of our families in the city.
Well, this brings us to the fund itself. And let's talk about that. What is the Diverse Learners Recovery Fund, and how did it come about?
So we heard from a number of stakeholders about need about the different barriers that students with disabilities were experiencing as we went to shelter place overnight and have families were struggling with number one, needing to find childcare because the schools were closed, but that childcare needed to be one that had experience with taking care of a child with a disability, depending on the type of disability, but also peers were working hard to make sure that the students stayed on track with, for example, additional tutoring or finding alternate ways to provide accessibility. So we wanted to meet this critical need and the request that we were hearing from our community. So we devoted to Mayor Johnson's administration, we devoted $5 million in our perfect public funds. Then, if one of Mayor Johnson's priority is serving youth, whether it's youth employment, this is another incredible example of how we are serving and supporting youth with disabilities and their families.
Oh, and so Kurt, the $5 million in this fund, where is it coming from? And tell us a few details about the money itself.
Yeah, so it's available to families that live in the city of Chicago, have a child that is enrolled in either a public or private school through K through 12th grade, that they have a child who has an identified disability. And that could either be identified through an IEP, an individual educational plan, or any other type of disability that is defined by the American Disabilities Act. The money is also, or the funds are also targeted to families that are living what we consider low income. So it's equal to or less than 300% of the federal poverty level. And that's based on the number of members that live within your household. So we're trying to make sure that this cash grant goes towards families most in need, and most those families that were impacted the most by the COVID pandemic. So if they meet those eligibility requirements, live in the city, have a child with a disability, enrolled in a school K through 12th, and meet the income debt requirements, they can simply apply for the 500 cash grant. There is a lottery system that we've put into place because there's so many families that will qualify for this, that we've created a lottery system. So if you are eligible, you can apply, you can enter, and then you will enter into the lottery system. If awarded, you'll receive the $500 cash grant award. It's non-restrictive, so they can spend it on housing cost, food and groceries, pay bills, or they can spend it on extra services for their child, mentoring, tutoring, after-school programs. We want to make sure that they can use that money where it's needed most.
And this is 500 cash per child, but there's a limit, right?
There's a limit, so two children per family. So families that have two children that are enrolled in school, live in the city, and have an identified disability, they can receive up to $1,000.
And how can people apply?
Great question. So they could go to the website www.adamopd.com. So that's www.adamopd.com.
Okay, for people who don't have broadband, or who may not know how to negotiate these kinds of websites, how can they apply?
So they can contact us at this number, 312-561-6965. That's 312-5, I'm sorry, 312-561-6965. We have a team of what we call outreach and application coordinators that will work with you, help you to access the application. We'll have live events where you can We'll come to you or we'll come to your neighborhood. We want to make sure that this is accessible for all families who qualify. So we have a team that will work with you.
And in fact, I think I know that even this show is running on Sunday, but I have heard that people could even apply before the official kickoff, which is a little later this week. Isn't the site live now?
The site is live. It is up and running. We put forth a small pilot program to make sure everything was working right. And we've been live for the last couple of weeks. So we've already had some families that have learned about the program. They have started to apply. We will have an official kickoff event with Commissioner Arfa and her office, with Mayor Brandon Johnson at one of our Ada S. McKinley locations, and we will celebrate the opening of this really important program.
And this is for either of you. How do you make sure that, let's face it, people don't always hear about the things that are available to them? How do you make sure that the right people are getting the message and will know that this opportunity is out there?
That's a great question. I think it's one of the reasons why Ada S. McKinley is an ideal partner with the City of Chicago and the Mayor's Office of People with Disabilities for this program. I mean, we already touch thousands of lives. We're in many, many different schools throughout the city providing services. We're a well-known organization. But more than that, we have partnerships with, multiple schools, other community-based organizations. We have reached out to all of them so that we can make sure that they get our flyers, get this word out to their families. Again, we have a team of about eight staff that will, for the next several months, they'll be actually going out to schools, local libraries, community events. Our goal is to touch every single community in the city. We want everyone to know that this is available for them.
And
I just wanted to add to that we were
please.
very intentional about making sure that anybody can learn about the information. For example, the video is so helpful, so we appreciate this opportunity today. But for someone who's deaf or hard of hearing, like myself, I would not learn about it this way. And I know from my personal experience in working in government, that not all the information is accessible. If that is the word of the week, they not have children. It's making sure that information is accessible, whether you're deaf or hard of hearing, whether you're blind or low vision, whether you have an intellectual development or disability or any other type of disability. And with that, not only have we embedded accessibility as one of our core principles, if we are working to have sign language interpreters in our outreach event, we are providing information in other languages. But after time, when people get information, they may not have that relationship with government. They have to miss out. They don't know about the program after it's built up. And we consider that that is why we are using a lottery model, which allows us to give anyone an opportunity to apply rather than doing a first-come-first-serve model, which favors people that have strong relationships with government. So with this program, we hope to reach people that maybe my office has not interacted with before, or that it as McCready has not reached yet either. So I'm so confident that between the two of us and our community partners who are listening, we'll be able to create a broad reach.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. We're talking about a new fund for students with disabilities. My guests are Rachel Arfa, Commissioner of the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, and Kurt Holderfield, Senior Vice President with Ada S. McKinley Community Services. I do want to ask how many people you expect to be able to serve with this program.
We anticipate that we'll be able to provide this cash, this financial assistance, this cash grant to approximately 8,000 students with disabilities and their families.
And if this program is successful and you get a lot of takers, what's the chance, and this may be more of a government question than anything since this is ARPA money, what are the chances of it continuing? I mean, the ARPA money is going to run out at some point. Is there any hope, if people really feel a need for it, that it could continue? Commissioner?
That's absolutely something that I have considered and have consulted them top. So the chances of that will be dependent on the interest in number of applications that we receive, but absolutely that has been a topic of conversation as we planned it. The fact that we know there's so many families with benefit and need these cash, and we want to be able to serve as many people as possible.
Yeah, and let me ask the indelicate question, but or the naive question. What difference can $500 make in the lives of people who have everyday struggles year after year that they have to face?
Sure, I'll answer that. And this is some of the feedback that I've received from some of the families at Ada S. McKinley that we've already provided an opportunity to learn about this program. I think, first of all, just the fact that they know that we're paying attention, and we know that they've been impacted and that they are struggling following the COVID pandemic, that their voice is heard, is really meaningful to them. You know, $500 doesn't solve everything, but we've already talked to some of our families that are putting that money towards housing costs, additional services for their children that they wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. You know, it's when I think about this and I think about that $500, it's not just, you know, a single program, but it's a series of programs that families are engaged in. So they may be enrolled in our Head Start program at Ada S. McKinley or a behavioral health program, or they may be enrolled in another community-based organization and receiving services. And so that $500 is just part of those multiple touches that we can provide to our families. And really, I think Commissioner Arfa said this so well, it's through a partnership. It's through the City of Chicago and through community-based organizations. And it's I see it as part of a larger support for families that's just helping them to, you know, overcome some of their challenges.
I'm thinking if there are, if a family comes to you and says, thank you for this money, what do you think we should, you know, what do you think we should use it for? I mean, are there people who can say, well, talk to people and find out? Maybe they don't know what needs they have or what things are out there. Who helps them decide where that money could best be used?
Yeah, it's why we've dedicated so much of the resources to making sure that it's a very personalized program. This is not an application and a website that people go to. So again, we have staff that will be reaching out and actually talking to families, touching families, building relationships with them. Because they work with ADAS McKinley and we have such a broad network of partners and services, we're able to make sure that those families then can access other networks, other supports within their community, so that it's not just a fact that they're filling out a form and getting money and then having to figure out what to do with that. This is really a service. Yes, it's a cash award, but it's really a service program at its heart.
Commissioner,
I wanted to also add to that many students and families may receive social security benefits and we work in partnership with the Social Security Administration so that this does not impact benefits. So if any families are listening and you're worried that you may not want to apply for that because you're worried about it impacting your benefits, it will not impact your benefits. If you look at people that are your back close to show the Social Security Administration. So that's an example of another partnership we have created so we could provide relief and support to families.
Yeah, and Commissioner, I think sometimes we don't think as much about people with disabilities as we should. You used the term invisible disabilities earlier. So much of the community is invisible, and how do we make sure that our institutions are remembering and providing the services that they may not be able to see the need for when they first look over the crowd?
Thank you so much, Clank. You're absolutely right. Disability is not always visible, and I know that from personal experience, because you cannot tell from looking at me that I have a hearing loss until I use my voice, or maybe I communicate a sign language, or if I disclose my disability, which I always do, in the way that we address and encourage people to embrace their disability identity is by designing spaces that are accessible and welcoming the people with disabilities so that they know, all of us know that this is a way for all of us to participate in by ensuring that accessibility is integrated into the design of any government program or service. And that's something that I've worked very hard to integrate at the mayor's office for people with disabilities so that nobody experiences a barrier to accessing services.
And Kurt, I want to ask you about the kinds of services that Ada S. McKinley and agencies like it can provide for families like this. I mean, what should people be looking for on the horizon, not just from Ada S. McKinley, but, you know, from the city, from other agencies? What's out there that people may not know is out there?
Yeah, I think, you know, families, obviously, this is a difficult time for many of our most vulnerable families in the city of Chicago. And we do have a vast array of community-based organizations providing really important services. I mean, it just at ADA, I mean, we can, you know, families can receive tutoring and mentoring services, mental health services, early childhood education services, college readiness services. So we do have a very large program of services for adults with intellectual disabilities, but ADA is not the only provider out there. And so we really encourage families to take advantage of all of these wonderful resources that we have across the city. And they really are. They're a partnership of both public and private, funding and service mixes. So it's needed, it's important, and we want to make sure that families are aware and can take advantage of those supports.
Now, I don't know what the answer to my question will be, but it does the city's website have any indicators or even if for your department of where people can get help if they have disabilities? In other words, could I go to the website for the your department, the office of for people with disabilities, and find help finding other help?
Absolutely. So we have a number of programs and services to help support people with disabilities living independently in every one of our 77 communities. For example, we have a home modification program that makes homes accessible for people with disabilities, typically by adding a lift to the home so people can come in and out of their home. We also make bathrooms and kitchens and other spaces accessible as needed, but this is a critical tool in helping people with disabilities live in their home, in the neighborhood that they want. We also have a personal assistance program that provides up to 6 hours of help in the home per week. We have an accessibility compliance unit that helps to make the city accessible across the city. And another program that we have is our career center, which was launched just over under 2 years ago. And we have people with disabilities get jobs and help them meet out of their dreams and goals. And that's another program I'm particularly proud of. So our goal is to help people with disabilities in every part of our city live independently and achieve out of their dreams in the city of Chicago.
And I would think especially the area of helping people with disabilities find jobs and overcome any discriminatory attitudes that might be out there. Kurt, do you see that problem coming up?
Of course we do. And oftentimes it shows up in a lack of access, and that we in the service industry, sometimes can be challenged by this as well, to make sure that it's accessible to everybody in the city and to be thoughtful of making sure that we provide outreach that is understood by people, can be accessed by people, and that we see ourselves as, it's in our title, community services, right? We're community-based. We need to go where the need is, not expect people to come to us, but we need to go to them, whether that's in their communities, in their schools, in their homes. And so we need to be very thoughtful in our approach so that all individuals are not only aware, but then can access those services.
That is going to be the final word. That was Kurt Holderfield. He is Senior Vice President of Ada S. McKinley Community Services. And a great thanks to Rachel Arfa, Commissioner of the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, who joined us as well. And I also would like to thank Jen McElroy, the sign language interpreter, who has spent this entire program with us and making it possible for this interview. And so thank you as well, Jen. And for our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com. You can also find our podcasts on Audacy.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dullimore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM. Raising children and shepherding them through school is no walk in the park, even on the good days. Well, if you are a family with a student with disabilities, the path might be even harder and steeper, but for some, help may be on the way. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Dellamore, and this is At Issue. This coming week, the city of Chicago and a renowned social service agency will join forces to launch a fund to help students with disabilities. It's called the Diverse Learners Recovery Fund, and we'll tell you a bit later about how to apply for grants. But first, we're going to introduce you to the officials who have helped establish this program. Rachel Arfa is Commissioner of Mayor Brandon Johnson's Office for People with Disabilities. She is the first deaf person to serve as a member of any mayor's cabinet nationwide. Prior to her government service, she spent 15 years as a disability and civil rights attorney, and under her leadership, the Office of People with Disabilities has upgraded its services in a number of ways. Also with us is Kurt Holderfield. He is a senior vice president for Ada S. McKinley Community Services. He focuses on child development and youth services. He's been with the social service agency for about 6 years. He's also been an adjunct professor at the University of Chicago School of Social Service Administration and chief program officer of the Chicago Child Care Society. And I welcome you both. And before we talk about the program itself, can we talk about the problem that it's designed to help solve? And I may turn to you first, Kurt, as someone with the service agency. What are the kinds of everyday challenges facing parents whose children have disabilities? And I say this knowing that there is such a wide range of things that we call disabilities.
There is a wide range, and there is many challenges that the families living in Chicago and those that receive services at Ada S. McKinley face who have children with disabilities. Just getting to school, making sure that they have all the resources and supports that they know that they so that they can learn and be on par with the other students that they go to school with. We particularly saw how our students struggled during the pandemic, especially when they moved to remote learning. The virtual classroom was just not ideal for many of our students that we were serving. That move was very difficult for them. Not only that, they lost some of their critical supports. It created undue stress for the families, both emotionally and financially. They struggled. And we see some of those lasting effects even today. A few years later, a few years removed from the pandemic, some of our families have not fully recovered yet.
Commissioner Arfa, let me ask, how can agents, either social service agencies or the government, be good at helping people over such a range? Because, you know, the needs of people with, say, blindness are so completely different from people who are mobility impaired or people who are deaf.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. It's great to be here to answer your question. I believe that this program will help to meet the barriers that students and adults with disabilities experience, whether you have a physical disability, an invisible disability, whether you were born with your disability, or you acquire your disability through age or through kind of community violence. We believe that it is so important to partner with our communities to design solutions. And I'm so proud that this program and the work that we are doing with Kurt and Ada S. McKinley is a stellar example of that partnership in serving other our communities.
Yeah, Ada S. McKinley is such a major partner of this. When we are talking about the challenges of learning, for some things, there's technology available. If you're mobility impaired, there's technology to help you move. If you're vision impaired, but for whom is the technology available and how do people afford it? Kurt?
So it is difficult to come by the technology. I mean, we try to make it available as much as we can to the families that we serve at Ada S. McKinley. I'll give you an example. For our early Head Start and Head Start programs, when we moved into remote learning for those students, we were able to provide a tablet loaded with educational apps. We were able to provide a hotspot for those families so that they were able to connect virtually. But we learned right away that, just having the technology wasn't enough. Some of our families weren't adept at being able to use that technology. They didn't have Wi-Fi. They didn't have proper connections. Children didn't necessarily know how to use some of the equipment. It would get damaged. We would need to have it replaced. The world has moved to a place where students and children, they need to be learning technology. And it became very apparent to us during the pandemic that not only did our families not have access to that technology, they also didn't necessarily have the knowledge to use it well. So that was a wake-up call for us. And I think one of the things that we've tried to do is make sure any of the families that come in contact with Ada McKinley have access to those resources. But we touch just a few families within the city, right? We don't touch everybody. So we do recognize that lack of access to technology is significant, and it creates a barrier for a lot of our families in the city.
Well, this brings us to the fund itself. And, let's talk about that. What is the Diverse Learners Recovery Fund, and how did it come about?
Sure, we heard from a number of stakeholders about the need about the different barriers that students with disabilities were experiencing as we went to shelter place overnight, and how families were struggling with, number one, needing to find childcare because the schools were closed, but that childcare needed to be one that had experience with taking care of a child with a disability, depending on the type of disability, but also peers were working hard to make sure that the students stay on track with, for example, additional tutoring, were finding alternate ways to provide accessibility. So we wanted to meet this critical need and the request that we were hearing from other our community. So we took further to Mayor Johnson's administration, we took further $5 million in our perfect coverage funds. Then, if one of Mayor Johnson's priority is serving youth, whether it's youth employment, this is another incredible example of how we are serving and supporting youth with disabilities and their families.
Oh, and so, Kurt, the $5 million in this fund, where is it coming from? And tell us a few details about the money itself.
Yeah, so it's available to families that live in the city of Chicago, have a child that is enrolled in either a public or private school through K through 12th grade, that they are have a child who has an identified disability, and that could either be identified through an IEP, an individual educational plan, or any other type of disability that is defined by the American Disabilities Act. The money is also, or the funds are also targeted to families that are living what we consider low income. So it's equal to or less than 300% of the federal poverty level, and that's based on the number of members that live within your household. So we're trying to make sure that this cash grant goes towards families most in need. And most those families that were impacted the most by the COVID pandemic. So if they meet those eligibility requirements, live in the city, have a child with a disability, enrolled in a school K through 12th, and meet the income debt requirements, they can simply apply for the 500 cash grant. There is a lottery system that we've put into place, because there's so many families that will qualify for this, that we've created a lottery system. So if you are eligible, you can apply, you can enter, and then you will enter into the lottery system. If awarded, you'll receive the $500 cash grant award. It's non-restrictive, so they can spend it on housing cost, food and groceries, pay bills, or they can spend it on extra services for their child. Mentoring, tutoring, after-school programs. We want to make sure that they can use that money where it's needed most.
And this is 500 cash per child, but there's a limit, right?
There's a limit. So two children per family. So families that have two children that, are enrolled in school, live in the city, and have an identified disability, they can receive up to $1,000.
And how can people apply?
Great question. So they could go to the website www.adamopd.com. So that's www.adamopd.com.
Okay, for people who don't have broadband or who may not know how to negotiate these kinds of websites, how can they apply?
So they can contact us at this number, 312-561-6965. That's 312-561-6965. We have a team of what we call outreach and application coordinators that will work with you, help you to access the application. We'll have live events where you can, we'll come to you or we'll come to your neighborhood. We want to make sure that this is accessible for all families who qualify. So we have a team that will work with you.
And in fact, I think I know that even this show is running on Sunday, but I have heard that people could even apply before the official kickoff, which is a little later this week. Isn't the site live now?
The site is live. It is up and running. We put forth a small pilot program to make sure everything was working right. And we've been live for the last couple of weeks. So we've already had some families that have learned about the program. They have started to apply. We will have an official kickoff event with Commissioner Arfa and her office, with Mayor Brandon Johnson at one of our Ada S. McKinley locations. We will celebrate the opening of this really important program.
And this is for either of you. How do you make sure that, let's face it, people don't always hear about the things that are available to them? How do you make sure that the right people are getting the message and will know that this opportunity is out there?
That's a great question. I think it's one of the reasons why Ada S. McKinley is an ideal partner with the City of Chicago and the Mayor's Office of People with Disabilities for this program. I mean, we already touch thousands of lives. We're in many, many different schools throughout the city providing services. We're a well-known organization. But more than that, we have partnerships with, multiple schools, other community-based organizations. We have reached out to all of them so that we can make sure that they get our flyers, get this word out to their families. Again, we have a team of about 8 staff that will, for the next several months, they'll be actually going out to schools, local libraries, community events. Our goal is to touch every single community in the city. We want everyone to know that this is available for them.
And I just wanted to add to that, that we were very intentional about making sure that anybody could learn about the information. For example, the video is so helpful, so we appreciate this opportunity today. But for someone who's deaf or hard of hearing, like myself, I would not learn about it this way. And I know from my personal experience of working in government that not all the information is accessible. If that is built word of the week, then I have children. It's making sure that information is accessible, whether you're deaf or hard of hearing, whether you're blind or low vision, whether you have an intellectual or developmental disability or any other type of disability. And with that, not only have we embedded accessibility as one of our core principles, if we are working to have signing with interpreters and our outreach event, we are providing information in other languages. But after time, when people get information, if they may not have that relationship with government, they have to miss out. They don't know about the program after it's built up. And we consider that, and that is why we are using a lottery model, which allows us to get anyone an opportunity to apply rather than doing confused comparison matter, which favors people that have struck relationships with government. So with this program, we hope to reach people that maybe my office has not interacted with before, or that it as McCready has not reached yet either. So I'm so confident that between the two of us and our community partners who are listening, we'll be able to create a broad reach.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. We're talking about a new fund for students with disabilities. My guests are Rachel Arfa, Commissioner of the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, and Kurt Holderfield, Senior Vice President with Ada S. McKinley Community Services. I do want to ask how many people you expect to be able to serve with this program.
We anticipate that we'll be able to provide this financial assistance, this cash grant to approximately 8,000 students with disabilities and their families.
And if this program is successful and you get a lot of takers, what's the chance, and this may be more of a government question than anything since this is ARPA money, what are the chances of it continuing? I mean, the ARPA money is going to run out at some point. Is there any hope, if people really feel a need for it, that it could continue? Commissioner?
That's absolutely something that I have considered and have consulted them top. So the chances of that will be dependent on the interest in number of applications that we receive, but absolutely that has been a topic of conversation as we've planned it. The fact that we know there's so many families with benefit and need these cash, and we want to be able to serve as many people as possible.
Yeah, and let me ask the indelicate question, but or the naive question. What difference can $500 make in the lives of people who have everyday struggles year after year that they have to face?
Sure, I'll answer that. And this is some of the feedback that I've received from some of the families at Ada S. McKinley that we've already provided an opportunity to learn about this program. I think, first of all, just the fact that they know that we're paying attention, and we know that they've been impacted and that they are struggling following the COVID pandemic, that their voice is heard, is really meaningful to them. You know, $500 doesn't solve everything, but we've already talked to some of our families that are putting that money towards housing costs, additional services for their children that they wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. You know, it's when I think about this and I think about that $500, it's not just, you know, a single program, but it's a series of programs that families are engaged in. So they may be enrolled in our Head Start program at Ada S. McKinley, or our behavioral health program, or they may be enrolled in another community-based organization and receiving services. And so that $500 is just part of those multiple touches that we can provide to our families. And really, I think Commissioner Arfa said this so well, it's through a partnership. It's through the City of Chicago and through community-based organizations. And I see it as part of a larger support for families that's just helping them to, you know, overcome some of their challenges.
I'm thinking if a family comes to you and says, thank you for this money, what do you think we should, you know, what do you think we should use it for? I mean, are there people who can say, well, talk to people and find out? Maybe they don't know what needs they have or what things are out there. Who helps them decide where that money could best be used?
Yeah, it's why we've dedicated so much of the resources to making sure that it's a very personalized program. This is not an application and a website that people go to. So again, we have staff that will be reaching out and actually talking to families, touching families, building relationships with them. Because they work with ADAS McKinley, and we have such a broad network of partners and services, we're able to make sure that those families then can access other networks, other supports within their community, so that it's not just the fact that they're filling out a form and getting money and then having to figure out what to do with that. This is really a service. Yes, it's a cash award, but it's really a service program at its heart.
Commissioner,
I wanted to also add to that 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 many students and families may receive Social Security benefits and be work in partnership with the Social Security Administration so that this does not impact benefits. So if any families are listening and you're worried that you may not want to apply for that because you're worried about it impacting your benefits, it will not impact your benefits. If people can feel that are for your records to show the Social Security Administration. So that's an example of another partnership we have created so we could provide relief and support to families.
Yeah, and Commissioner, I think sometimes we don't think as much about people with disabilities as we should. You used the term invisible disabilities earlier. So much of the community is invisible, and how do we make sure that our institutions are remembering and providing the services that they may not be able to see the need for when they first look over the crowd?
Thank you so much, Clank. You're absolutely right. Disabilities not always visible, and I know that from personal experience because you cannot tell from looking at me that I have a hearing loss until I use my voice or maybe I communicate a sign language or if I disclose my disability, which I always do, in the way that we address and encourage people to embrace their disability identity is by designing spaces that are accessible and welcoming to people with disabilities so that they know, other of us know that this is a way for other of us to participate in by ensuring that accessibility is integrated into the design of any development or program or service. And that's something that I've worked very hard to integrate at the mayor's office for people with disabilities so that nobody experiences a barrier to accessing services.
And Kurt, I want to ask you about the kinds of services that Ada S. McKinley and agencies like it can provide for families like this. I mean, what should people be looking for on the horizon, not just from Ada S. McKinley, but from the city, from other agencies? What's out there that people may not know is out there?
Yeah, I think, families, obviously, this is a difficult time for many of our most vulnerable families in the city of Chicago. And we do have a vast array of community-based organizations providing really important services. I mean, just at Ada, I mean, we can, families can receive tutoring and mentoring services, mental health services, early childhood education services, college readiness services. So we do have a very large program of services for adults with intellectual disabilities. But Ada is not the only provider out there. And so we really encourage families to take advantage of all of these wonderful resources that we have across the city. And they really are. They're a partnership of both public and private, funding and service mixes. So it's needed, it's important, and we want to make sure that families are aware and can take advantage of those supports.
Now, I don't know what the answer to my question will be, but it does the city's website have any indicators or even if, for your department of where people can get help if they have disabilities? In other words, could I go to the website for the your department, the Office of for people with disabilities, and find help finding other help?
Absolutely. So we have a number of programs and services to help support people with disabilities living independently in every one of our 77 communities. For example, we have a home modification program that makes homes accessible for people with disabilities, typically by adding a lift to the home so people can come in and out of their home. We also make bathrooms and kitchens and other spaces accessible as needed, but this is a critical tool in helping people with disabilities live in their home, in the neighborhood that they want. We also have a personal assistance program that provides up to 6 hours of help in the home per week. We have an accessibility compliance unit that helps to make the city accessible across the city. And another program that we have is our career center, which was launched just over under 2 years ago. And we have people with disabilities get jobs and help them meet out of their dreams and goals. And that's another program I'm particularly proud of. So our goal is to help people with disabilities in every part of our city live independently and achieve out of their dreams in the city of Chicago.
And I would think, especially the area of helping people with disabilities find jobs and overcome any discriminatory attitudes that might be out there. Kurt, do you see that problem coming up?
Of course we do. And oftentimes it shows up in a lack of access, and that we and the service industry, sometimes can be challenged by this as well, to make sure that it's accessible to everybody in the city and to be thoughtful of making sure that we provide outreach that is understood by people, can be accessed by people, and that we see ourselves as, it's in our title, community services, right? We're community-based. We need to go where the need is, not expect people to come to us, but we need to go to them, whether that's in their communities, in their schools, in their homes. And so we need to be very thoughtful in our approach so that all individuals are not only aware, but then can access those services.
That is going to be the final word. That was Kurt Holderfield. He is Senior Vice President of Ada S. McKinley Community Services. And a great thanks to Rachel Arfa, Commissioner of the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, who joined us as well. And I also would like to thank Jen McElroy, the sign language interpreter, who has spent this entire program with us and making it possible for this interview. And so thank you as well, Jen. And for our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, wbbmnewsradio.com. You can also find our podcasts on odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dullimore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.